Hi, welcome back. It is 2019. I hope everybody had a good meltdown.
This is the Chendino. I am Naz.
I am Dan. Naz, how are you? How was your break? How's your new year?
It was okay. I was a bit ill, but I think my body was forcing me to stay in bed so I'd get a lot of reading done. That's my theory.
Yeah, you have been sick every time I have talked to you for the past 3 weeks.
Unfortunately, I don't have a lovely husky voice, though. That's usually like the upside of like having a cold, right? It's like, oh, I have to do loads of recordings because I sound really good. But I've not had that.
No, you sound normal, but you just complain a lot.
Hey.
That was a joke.
Hey. Well, how was your 2 weeks?
It's been great. I went skydiving. It was not a big deal. It was
pretty boring. Yeah, dude, I don't like when you say that. You just sound like such a hipster. You're like, you know, just went skydiving. Yeah.
It was fine. It was not a big. It's not a big deal. We can move past it.
Sounds like you're bragging.
No. What if this was my way of just like hiding the fact that I like shit my pants, like literally shit my pants skydiving, and I'm just like, it's not a big deal. Let's move past it because I just don't want to talk about it. My biggest fear actually was that like I was going to eat the wrong thing the day before and like shit on the tandem skydiver. Like I was not scared of dying. I was not scared of heights. I was like, God, what if I eat the wrong thing and I'm strapped to a person and I shit on him?
But you said your person was like super chill.
Yeah, he was so chill. Robbie, bleached hair, like sun bleached, not like vanity bleached. He was so Southern California, coolest guy I've ever met. He like wore shorts and,
and
was just like, sup dude, you ready to jump out of a plane or like whatever? He was so cool.
Okay, so let's get down to business. If you're new
right, moving on.
No, because I've heard so much about Robbie, I feel like you could talk about him. You're like in love with Robbie.
We're best friends. I'm going to find him on Facebook right after this.
Moving on from Robbie. If you're new to the show, welcome. We basically try to figure out how men and women can best get on this show. So I'm Naz. I am a journalist. I'm based in London. Being a woman, I guess naturally all these topics come up for me all the time. And also, I guess I've been seeing how a lot of men don't really know what they're doing either, and they need a bit of guidance. Is that really bad? Yeah. I said that.
No, and that's where I come in. I'm Dan. I'm a comedian in Los Angeles. So, I mean, it's obvious who the smart one is and who the idiot who needs hand-holding is, right? Like, that's kind of our dynamic here.
That's not what I said.
You're the highly educated Brit, and I'm the failed out of community college American.
Also, I see a therapist and it's been a really important thing in my life. And I know, Dan, you've got like your own equivalent, because I think this explains a lot about our approach and how we're kind of into kind of getting into the nitty gritty and not being abstract about things.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I've dealt with like addiction recovery and a lot of different, you know, environments in which that can be sought, and the personal and interpersonal reflection that goes along with that.
So this week we are going to talk about how to be an ally, because this is something that comes up a lot. Like, people are always asking questions about how can I be a better ally, mostly men, about how they can be allies to women. But I also think a lot about how women can help men out with their issues too. So we're going to talk about that in this episode. First, let's talk about our sponsor, Blinkist. It's the only app that takes the best takeaways from thousands of nonfiction books and it condenses them down to just 15 minutes. You can either read these or you can listen to them. It's really fantastic. You should check it out. I've been actually listening to The Happiness Fantasy by Carl Sederstrom, because it reminds me of you, Dan, and how you think nothing means anything and we're all going to die.
I don't think we're all going to die. We are all going to die.
Okay, whatever. But as soon as I saw this, I was like, oh, this reminds me of Dan. I'm going to check this out. So it's super interesting. I also have Madness and Civilization by Michel Foucault lined up next, because I know someone who's into Foucault and I really want to debate with him. So
I'm going to stop you right here, because I have no idea what any of this is. And how do I get this app? Because I clearly need to learn more.
So you can download this app, and Blinkist actually have a special offer just for our audience. If you go to Blinkist.com/thegendernot, you can start your free 7-day trial. So that is BLINKIST.com/thegendernot, and you can start your free 7-day trial. So Dan, you're gonna go do that, and then you can read some Jordan Peterson, some Roxane Gay, you know, a bit of Mark Manson, and then we can argue about all of these.
I genuinely have no idea who any of these people are. I'm very excited. I'm gonna really fuck up some dinner party conversations next week.
So that's Blinkist.com/thegendernot.
Hell yeah.
Okay, so before we talk about how to be an ally, let's do a little bit of housekeeping. We have a Patreon. If you like the show, support us. We have linked to it in the notes of the show. Also, leave us reviews on iTunes because we love reading those and it helps people to find the show.
Yeah, and send us any kind of mail you want. Thegendernot@gmail.com, or you can find like a contact button on the website. Or you can find a link in the show notes. And actually, last month, in our last episode, we specifically requested messages about whether or not you, the listener, think Naz is a hypocrite like I do. Well, I never said she was. She said she was. I just said, I agree with you. Because that's what I do when she talks. I just agree.
No, you don't. Dude, I don't like it when people just agree with me. You know that.
I know.
It really
upsets me.
That's
why I said that. Because I like to upset you. I don't agree with you. Anyway, we got some fun mail about that.
Yeah, so this is basically about how I'm like, oh, men should deal with their feelings. But then I'm like, don't tell me about it.
Right.
So funnily enough, what has happened is that we've had all this mail of people telling me how great I am. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? Like, I solicit people to tell me I suck, and everyone's like, Naz, you're so great.
But isn't that what we thought was going to happen?
No.
That's like baiting. You're fishing for compliments, is what that
no,
is.
I'm not.
Guys, no, I'm the worst, right? Just tell me I'm the worst. And then they're all like, no, Naz, you're so good.
No, but we get plenty of emails where people slag me off. It's not like they don't.
So we got a couple letters. I think would be fun is if you read them and I'll tell you if I think these people are right or wrong.
Okay, so we got a letter, Belle from England. She says, are you a hypocrite? I don't think so. It's once bitten, twice shy. Not wanting to do emotional labor for men is fine and dandy. Feeling guilty about it is not. Tell me if I'm wrong, but my understanding is that you're reluctant to do emotional labor because your fear is that, number one, the guy will not spread the load and talk to his male friends or go to men's groups or therapists, but dump it all on you. He won't respect your boundaries, in other words. Or number two, this will not be reciprocal. If you want someone to talk to, it most likely won't be him. Therefore, it's draining because it's an energetic imbalance. You want to help, but it's too easy to take it all on, and it could happen very easily by stealth. But you're happy to support someone if you're not, and not expected to be the sole source of their emotional support. But you can't guarantee that, so you withhold it altogether. That makes perfect sense to me, so not hypocritical at all. In fact, Dan, you're actually going to interview someone about emotional labor so that you know what all of this is about.
Yeah.
And then you'll finally know what this is all about.
Yeah, but my question is, like, do we have to do things just for reciprocity?
No, but if you feel that, like, only it's everything's a one-sided street, then it's draining.
I guess.
Yeah.
But, like, then, is it a one-sided street if he becomes a better person and then pays it forward? Like, does it need to be paid back to you for it to be...
Yeah, then as a woman,
I'm just asking
yeah, it's annoying. It is annoying. I feel like... This reminds me, a friend was telling me how, like, all of her ex-boyfriends, like, you know, they'll have really traumatic breakups, and then a year later every single one emails her being like, thank you so much for helping me have an epiphany, I've now had like a career change, and she's like, leave me alone.
Is that not making the world better? She should take pride in that, but she doesn't exist
to solely, like, you know, fix other people and have them dump their shit on her, you know.
But maybe she does. Do we get to decide what we exist for?
Yeah, no, dude, that's the whole problem, because she's like, oh, I feel like I'm just here to, like, help some guy with his, like, you know, career issues, and then, you know, he doesn't leave me with anything good. Yeah, no, it needs to be reciprocal. I'm not even going to debate that right now. We also heard from Greg from the US. We also heard from Greg from the US. He said, just heard the lead into the new episode. My wife and I were discussing the show the other day. I think the problem is with the idea that maybe people are holding you accountable for speaking for all women. I can tell you right now, I have never thought that. When I discuss workplace issues with my wife and what a woman should do in order to be treated better, she frequently mentions that the lean-in methodology or the just do what a man would do methodology just doesn't work for her. All this is to say, you have your experiences and ways to grapple with the issues surrounding gender in your own way. It is not hypocritical for you to feel like men as a whole should do one thing without you yourself feeling like you want to deal with that responsibility. I can feel like Americans need better eating habits without feeling responsible to listen to each person that struggles with that or feeling guilty for not taking that on. Maybe you could do more to point out to listeners the difference between your opinion on some topics versus what has been studied, as well as including additional viewpoints from other women or men on appropriate responses. I think Dan's involvement helps with this, as he is vocal in his opinions on the topics. Don't feel like a hypocrite. If it's a shitty white dude telling you that you are one, then that is probably just that guy running a play from the shitty white dude playbook of passing the problem off and not wanting to take any responsibility.
So I'm a shitty white dude, am I?
No one said that. But speaking of which, let's talk about how to be a better ally, because this topic comes up quite a lot.
A really great lead-in.
It is. In terms of how men can be better allies to women during this confusing time. And also, I'm guessing, about how women can also help men without doing all of the work, as Belle was mentioning. So I actually have come up with a little plan. I'm thinking it will be fun.
I'm excited about this.
I'm thinking it will be fun if we brainstorm some ideas and if people write in as well about their experiences on what we can each do to be better allies to each other. And I've been reading White Fragility by Robin DiAngelo, which is all about why it's so hard for white people to talk about racism. And she has some really interesting things in that, which I think also apply to the gender debate. So, yeah.
I would love to hear other people's thoughts on that. I mean, I have a hard time with it. I do a podcast to try to get better at it.
And get yelled at by me.
And this is my second podcast trying to get better at it.
So, okay, I'm gonna give you some thoughts and you tell me what you think. In terms of like things, I'm thinking mostly in terms of what men can do to be better allies to women. And also I'm gonna like talk about how women can help with that. So I'm thinking, first of all, be honest and know that you're not perfect and that's okay. I think that's like a really important thing. And also to acknowledge that you're gonna make mistakes. If you're trying to be an ally, you're trying to help women out, acknowledge that you're gonna make mistakes and that's all okay. It means that you're trying and you're making an effort. So like, don't be put off if you do something and a woman tells you that wasn't right or it wasn't correct. Like, that's a really good opportunity to learn and to grow. And basically it means that you should get involved, because it's okay to make mistakes, but it's not okay to walk away or not deal with the problem. I also think acknowledging that inevitably you are going to sometimes say or do sexist things. Society has raised us in a way where that is inevitable. And so to accept this, and if a woman points out, or if anyone points out something sexist you've said or done, then instead of defending yourself, listen to them and work on it, because that's inevitably going to happen. And that a criticism of your behavior is not a personal attack on you. So yeah, not to take it personally if someone says, hey, this thing you did was sexist, you know, just learn from it. Because I think often when people want to be allies, what happens is they spend a lot of time and energy trying to prove that they're good people and that they never make mistakes, and no, they never said anything sexist. So it can actually, supposedly woke people can be really draining to deal with, because instead of actually doing the work, they're just like trying to prove that, no, but I'm not one of them. No, like, you know, like, I have black friends, or like, you know, my friend is gay or whatever. Do you know what I mean? Rather than, yeah, hey, I said something shitty, I'm going to try and learn.
I think these are good points. But like, I think, is it possible to even like broad stroke it a little bit more. I mean, that's a lot. Those like eight things. Do you know what I mean? Like, I can't expect somebody to just immediately like pick up a toolkit that big and start using all of the tools tomorrow.
What about know that you're going to make mistakes, but you know, keep
so
going.
That's number one. Like,
well, I think that's the main one. Know that you're going to make mistakes. I think a lot of them go back to that, that it's okay to make mistakes. You aren't perfect. You are sometimes going to be sexist. Criticism of your behavior isn't a personal attack on you. I think that all goes back to knowing that, yeah, you're not perfect and that's okay. But yeah, you need to get involved.
Yeah. So,
and like, also, I think that, and also, I think what women can do is to be respectful of all of this, to expect men to get involved and expect that they're going to make mistakes. But it's okay as long as they're making an effort. It's more important that someone is making an effort and they might make a mistake and that's an opportunity to teach them rather than to like get angry that they've made a mistake.
Right. That was what I was going to say. Like if we wanted to also have like a short list for the gals to help men be allies, one of the things would be allow men to make mistakes without making, not that anyone can make anyone feel anything, but like without giving them reason to feel like that one mistake is unfixable or like something they can't come back from.
Well, I think even further to expect that even the best of guys are sometimes going to be sexist. That's
right,
just how they've been raised.
Myself included.
Right.
Being the best of guys, obviously.
But like, yeah, you know, expect that sometimes like, you know, your fantastic brother or, you know, colleague or whatever, he's occasionally going to say sexist things. And that doesn't mean to let it slide, but to like, you know, it's not that, well, oh my God, my world's come falling down. This is an awful guy. Hey, this is going to happen. Hey, I know you're a really good person. You don't mean it, but this thing you said was really not good. This is why. I'd appreciate if we can talk about this.
Right. But when I was doing my old podcast, Fine and Dandy with Dan and Andy, no big deal, we had Ijeoma Oluo on the show. And if anyone ever wants to talk about how to be a phenomenal ally, listen to anything or read anything she's ever done. She's amazing. She mentioned a phrase that I'd never heard before, which was that someone gave her the gift of correction.
Mm.
And I really think that that's kind of what we're talking about right here, is like taking the time to help someone understand the mistake they've made and see a better way of doing it without jumping down their throat, without treating them like an asshole for it. And then it goes, well, nothing I do is worth trying then. Like, that's the feeling, right? Of just like, well, why am I even trying if one slip up is going to get me yelled at like I'm the demon on TV?
Yeah, so we spoke to Jackson Katz a while ago, who we're going to hear again on an upcoming episode. And he actually talked about this exact dilemma where he said, like, you know, men, they'll talk about how they were at some event and they tried to say something and a woman corrected them or got upset with them. And they're like, I'm never going to say anything. And he said something like, if one comment is all it takes for you to not get involved, then I question your commitment.
Right.
But I think that in itself, like, you know, with the guys, know that you're going to be making mistakes, so people might get upset at what you're saying. That's okay. The fact that you're getting engaged is what's important.
It's like being in a committed relationship, and I know you think that I have commitment issues, but like,
sorry.
You get to this place where you make mistakes in a relationship, right? Or you go through hard times, and we have to decide, like, am I committed to this? Is this something that I want to see through? And that's what we're talking about right now, right? Like, the idea of being an ally, like, is this something that I want to keep doing? Or is me getting in trouble for saying the word broad in a joke going to, you know, take me off the path?
Yeah. Well, there's a line from White Fragility I really like, where Robin DiAngelo, who is also white, by the way, so she's white. Mm. She's white, she's American, and she's mostly writing about all of this in a US context. So she says, quote, stopping our racist patterns must be more important than working to convince others that we don't have them. So I think that really applies here as well. Like, you know, trying to be an ally is more important than proving that you didn't say something sexist or you didn't do something sexist.
Yeah, right. I think the idea is trying to be an ally is more important than trying to look like an ally.
Yeah, I like that. I like that.
Because that's so much of what it is. It's so much fucking ego. It's so much of just like, listen, guys, I'm doing this right, and you could all take a note. So, like, I get the idea of, like, wanting to be an ally versus wanting to look like an ally. But, like, my big question, the thing that I run into the most is, when am I supposed to be active versus when am I supposed to be, like, listening, right? Because, like, a whole thing right now is, like, well, not right now, but, like, in general is, you know, the idea that women don't need a man to stand up for them. You know what I mean?
Don't need a man to explain.
Well, like, let's say I'm dating a gal and a guy is in her face at a bar. You know, some guy's doing
some
bullshit.
Yeah, dude, hit him. I'd be so up for that. I'm a bit old school like that. I'm really into, like, things.
Okay,
like,
so maybe we'll take this to the listeners then, because you want me to punch him.
Yeah, but man, I actually...
I know a lot of women who are like, I'll let you know when I need your help. I don't need a man stepping in for me. Do you know what I mean? Like,
well,
I can stand up for myself.
Right.
And so, right. And so then how do I know which one I'm supposed to do?
Well, in that case, they have told you that they will let you know. I think what's
right,
more hard is when they don't do that.
But I won't know that they'll tell me until we've had the conversation. Do you know what I mean? Let's say I'm at a movie theater and we're buying our tickets and some guy bumps into the girl I'm with and it's like a second date and I don't know her well enough. Do I fight the guy? Do you know what I mean? Or do I let her tell him off?
I mean, I would... Yeah, it's hard. I like people to get involved. But in a respectful way.
Like, there's this line of, like...
I mean, what's the problem? What's the problem with you saying something to him? Why do you feel like that might be a problem?
Because I know plenty of women who would say, like, I don't need a man to step in for me.
Maybe it's
like that me assuming that they need my help is sexist behavior.
Is it maybe the way you're doing it? Because this is something as well, not maybe with that example, but sometimes it can sound like, yeah, guys are sort of taking over. Maybe if a guy is kind of like, hey, I don't mean to step in, but I just think it's important that I say that's not okay.
Right, but is me saying I don't know if it's my place to step in not just me stepping in?
Yeah, but it's an acknowledgement. I mean? But it is an acknowledgement that you understand it's a complicated situation and that people might not agree with you. Or maybe, like, I understand some people might not like me stepping in. I feel it's appropriate if I do so right now. I don't know.
Hmm. It's tough, right?
Right.
This is a tough one.
And then that's a really long sentence to say if someone's just, like, bumped into someone.
Right. And some guy's being a dick and I'm going to be like, hey,
Excuse me, sir.
I just want to check really quick. Do you need me? Listen, I don't want to assume that you need me, but I also don't want to, maybe let's not use the word need. Would you like me? Could I? You know what I mean? Like, it's
and by this time,
touchy.
The dude's already in the movie theater and
he's already like off fucking grabbing some other chick inappropriately, doing some other weird shit. And like, I don't, then the moment's lost and I either A, come off like an unassertive coward, or B, you know, have ruined her opportunity to stand up for herself. And like, this is all, again, yeah, we've gotten very into the weeds, but I would like it if anyone listening has some advice on that, because this is something that I, as a man who tries to be an ally, have a lot of questions around, which is just like, when am I supposed to be vocal? Do you know what I mean? And like, when am I allowed to be that version of masculinity that I was raised with, which is, you know, stepping up for people around me.
Which I think is
right.
Wicked personally.
And I love doing that.
I'm like, yeah, punch the guy, do it.
I probably won't punch him, but I will act like I'm going to until he apologizes.
Well, okay, what I wonder as well, sometimes I wonder if as women we need to, I don't know, a lot of women aren't going to like that I'm going to say this, but I think realistically there are times when men are more likely to listen to another man. And I know a lot of women are not going to like me saying that. And there are some instances where I think actually men should be stepping in. When it's to do with sort of, for example, with abusive situations or situations mm-hmm. which can be dangerous to women, I actually expect that men should step in there because it is safer. Now, that is kind of my opinion. And I feel like I'm a bit super pragmatic about these things. So I'm like, whatever is going to get the job done. I know a lot of women aren't going to like me saying that, though.
Well, here's the thing, right? Whether it's right or wrong, like, I think certain men aren't going to listen to women. And those are typically the ones that are performing this type of behavior that we're talking about.
And
right?
Often performing this type of behavior for other men. That's the interesting thing. That's why I think sometimes men need to step in. Because, I mean, right. Okay, you know this better than me, being a guy. Isn't a lot of masculinity sort of like performing for other men?
Absolutely, which right. is why going to an all-male school was the best.
But you know what I mean? That's why I think sometimes if guys step in and they're like, hey, you know, sitting around making sexist jokes, actually, no, we don't think that's cool. That is right. probably more effective. And hence why I think, yeah, sometimes men should be stepping in. And I know women aren't going to like me saying that.
Hmm. Well, let's hopefully we'll get some mail on this one. I'd yeah. really love to hear it.
Yeah, we're actually going to do an episode soon about being an imperfect ally as well. So how to be an yeah. ally when you know that you have done sexist things yourself. So yeah, if you have thoughts on that or on what we've talked about this episode, drop us a line. It's thegendernaut@gmail.com. But know in future, if this happens, Dan, punch the dude. Or at least give him a good telling off.
Well, here's the thing. I feel like if anybody listens to this, they're going to know that I don't fight. And then they'll not believe me. But my thing is I just act really tough until they apologize. I've never actually been in a fight, but I will challenge dudes to fights.
When I say fight as well, I really don't mean physical, but I'm like confrontation. I'm really into confrontation, though. So
oh,
I'm like,
me too,
say
yeah.
something. You know, I hate people not saying things. I'm like, if someone behaves badly, everyone needs to say something. Like, dude, sorry, what was that? You know? And that's the only way the world changes. The world changes because, like, some person got up and was like, hang on a second, what's going on? Like, all social change is because of that, because someone made a scene, someone stood up and was like, hey, this is not okay. Hey, inequality right. is not okay.
Right, and here's the thing. When the people who are right aren't doing it, the people who are wrong are, and that's how we get Donald Trump.
Absolutely. So step up, get involved, and write to us.
Yeah, and we'll be back next time. This is The Gender Knot. I'm Dan.
I am Naz. Our co-producers are Sam Baker and Jonathan Blackwell. We'll be back next week.
That's it. Yeah, go. Leave us alone.